In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. How do we handle the parents who are not supportive and constantly use anger to deal with their kids' action? If you apply the 6 stages on the parents, maybe who are serving in the family meeting or Rabuna can see why they are always angry. Maybe just their personality or the pressure of the world. So we need to know why, and then how to see whether they are willing to change or not, and then what is their action of plan and how to change. How to teach ultra-cultural parent the idea of love and befriending their children instead of using strict fear tactics, and how we effectively deliver the message that their child needs love at home. I think discussion, be patient. If that is my belief system, I use, as you said here, strict fear tactic. If that's my belief system, in order to change this, needs patience and discussion. For example, you can tell them, you are using this for some time. Is it bringing good fruit? If the answer is no, maybe try to another. And then if we are respecting the authority of the scripture, we can go to the scripture and see how the Lord dealt with people who are struggling. Are we following the example of the Lord or not? Again, using the authority of the scripture, talking, discussion. But sometimes if there is a Sunday school servant who is young, for example, in high school or early years in college, maybe it's difficult for him to have this discussion with parents. And this time you need to refer them to Abuna. You can talk to Abuna or to Sunday school coordinator. They can handle this. Or as I said, there has to be cooperation between servant and parent. You can make meetings between servant and parent, in which can have like panel discussion. Servant speak in general about the challenges and what they are expecting from parents. Parents say what they are expecting from servant, so we can have a unified vision, one mind and one goal. We have so many kids addicted to weed. The kids open up to us, Sunday school servant, but they ask, we don't tell the parents. I told the Abuna, so Abuna can follow up. But Abuna is also not telling the parents because it is a confession. What should we do? Should we tell the parents? If you tell the parents, they will lose your trust and they will not confide to you. But the better here to tell him, your parents can be part of your support system, and you need support system. If you are serious in quitting and getting healed, I think you need the support of your parents. So you need to discuss with them until they are convinced that they should actually share this with their parents. But also you need to discuss with them why they don't want to say to their parents. Maybe if the parents are so strict and they will not handle it right, and they will take like extreme punishment or discipline method, then before encouraging the youth to speak to the parents, again, can invite all the parents, not the parents of this boy only, and to speak to them what you need to do if your son is doing weed. Just awareness, education. You need to educate the parents. That's part of having a successful Sunday school. We need to educate the parents. Then, when we encourage the boy to share this with his parents, now the parents will follow up from the church, from Bunas and school servant, etc. They will know how to handle it, to be supportive and not to be like policing them or punishing them, disciplining them. We know the source where the kids are getting the products they smoke. Should we report the shops to the authorities? In some states, unfortunately, these are legal. In some states, I'm not sure about Tennessee here. But if it is illegal and they are selling these things illegal, in my opinion, nothing wrong actually to report these shops to the authorities to protect our children. St. Paul said in Romans chapter 13, are you afraid of the authority? Do what's good. To protect our children, I personally, I don't see anything wrong in reporting these shops to the authorities, especially if they are young. Will Nashville have an addiction center or house to help treat our young boys and girls? We discussed this before. Definitely this idea has pros and cons. One of the things that help the addict is not to return to the same culture. You know, we have a rehab center in Florida. We found that the percentage of relapse in the youth who came to us from other states and did not return to the same state less than those after they completed the program, returned back to the same home, same state, same culture. And I think if we are going to have a rehab center here in Nashville, this should be treating youth from Texas, Florida, Arizona. People from Tennessee should go to centers outside Tennessee. Statistics, it all when they go back to the same culture, same home, the percentage of relapse, unfortunately, is high. As a servant myself, I am struggling with prayer, Bible, relationship with God, and challenges with bad habits, and work on quitting, and lost hope. I hope this lecture will motivate you not to lose hope, because if a servant lost hope, how can you give hope to others? And if you are struggling and trying to do what's right, even if you are not victorious yet, your struggle is appreciated by God. And God understands that all of us are struggling. But maybe you can discuss with your spiritual father, what are the reasons? Why are you still struggling with your spiritual canon? Why are you still struggling with the bad habits? What are the reasons that hindering you from moving to the next step? And try to set clear goals and practical goals. And as I mentioned in the lecture, try to move one step at a time. Discuss all this with your spiritual father. And one of the very, very powerful book that will help not only you, but all of us who are struggling with our weakness is Life of Repentance and Purity by Pope Shenouda. This book is very, very powerful in leading the person in the way of repentance. Especially the translation, because there are many translations. The translation that is done by His Grace Bishop Suriel, and it's published, I think, by SVS. Is this a good translation? What do we do when we feel like the servant are the ones that set a wrong standard or act in a hypocritical way? They teach something, but in their personal life act in another way and don't see the negative impact. Example, dancing. One of the major sins of the scribes and Pharisees, hypocrisy. Read Matthew 23. There are 8 woes to them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You as a servant, you don't want to be in this category, the religious leaders of Israel. You don't got to say about you, whatever they tell you, do it, but according to their life, don't follow their example. You are actually entrusted with responsibility. You need to take this responsibility serious. When we ordain a priest in the catechesis at the end of the ordination, we say to him, and teach the people by your action more than by your word. You need to be a good example. St. Paul said to Timothy, be example to the people in word, in conduct, in faith. So you need to be example. Hypocrisy is one of the destructive sins, not only to the person, but to the community. How do I help my student who deals with a lot of mental health issues, but the parents want to keep their head in the sand? They don't give help, but may inflict fear. Apparently, the person who wrote this question, he knows the answer to the first part of the question. If he is dealing with mental health issues, then actually he needs professional help. It is out of our scope here as Sunday school servants. Mental health issues need professional help. You need a psychiatrist to help him, and maybe professional Christian counselor. But the issue here, I think, from the question, the parents is not welcoming the idea. And unfortunately, there is a stigma with mental health. When you say to people, and your son needs to see a psychiatrist, they think, we are saying he's magnoon, he's out of his mind. Again, education and education and education and education. We need to educate and to talk to them and to explain to them the choices. We can tell them you have two choices. Either to ignore that your son has mental health issues, then actually one day maybe you find him dead and you will be responsible because you did not make the right decision. The other choice, we need to check him. We need to send him to professional to help him. So education and discuss with them their choices and explain to them the outcome of every choice. He's speaking about the mental health issues, including suicide and sexual related issues with depression. Yeah, if there's suicide, definitely he needs professional help. Definitely. What you can tell us about doomsday, everyone expecting to happen soon? Be ready. Is that what you're expecting? Regardless, we need to be ready and to repent every day, whether it happened today or it happened after 1,000 years. But we don't know our life when it ends. So we need actually to be ready. How do we face this issue at the workplace, at American white collar workers are all judge you? How do we survive? 2 points here. First point, St. Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, when he said to the people, don't keep company with immoral people. So St. Paul said, but I'm not speaking about the immoral of this world. Otherwise, you need to leave the world. He said here, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world. Otherwise, you would need to go out of the world. If we take this in absolute, the only way is to die. Because we are surrounded with ungodly people everywhere. But he is speaking, St. Paul, but now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother. A brother means a believer. The word brother here means a believer who is sexually immoral or covetous, etc. not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside of the faith, not believers, not in the church? Do you not judge those who are inside? So our responsibility toward those who are inside. But those who are outside, God judges them. So St. Paul, that's the first principle. We don't judge those who are outside, although we need to pray for them, evangelize to them, but it's not our responsibility to say, I will not deal with them, period. But we need to deal with them as companions, co-workers, not as friends. There is difference between to have friend from them, because St. Paul said, but company corrupt good morals, but as co-workers with love and respect. If you are speaking about they are judging you, you need to live according to the Christian principles. Regardless they judge you or they don't judge you, regardless they will persecute you or not persecute you, live your Christian life. The apostles live their life according to the teaching of the scripture. They were judged, they were persecuted, they were stoned, they were imprisoned. Again, are we willing to suffer loss for Christ or not? The Lord did not tell us, when you follow me, there is no cross, the gate is wide, and the road is easy. He never told us this. He told us, no, those who want to live godly in the Lord Jesus Christ will be persecuted. That actually what the Bible teaches us. Live your Christian principle, show love to them, show understanding, show respect to them as co-workers. Most of the time when we cannot endure persecution, because God will never tempt you more than what you can endure. He will give you grace in their eyes, and they will respect you, and they will not judge you. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.